I'm sorry.
That's what I like that.
Second.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the regular meeting of the commission, April 26, 2023. The public may listen to the meeting in real time by following the instructions listed at the top of the commission's meeting agenda, currently posted on the commission's website. In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who may be listening on the meeting by telephone, I will call a roll call so that the record will reflect who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Commissioner Barry? Commissioner Einhorn?
Here.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Here.
Commissioner Hankins?
Here.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes,
here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, present. Similarly, when the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission meeting of April 12, 2023. Do I hear a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting.
Is it, I'm sure the date on that is.
March 22nd.
Oh, March 22nd, 2023.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Okay, my notes said April 12th.
Okay, that's what it probably
is. Is that a typo?
Yes.
So I would like to withdraw my motion.
I'll second.
Let's start clean.
You'll withdraw the second.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the commission's regular minutes of April 12, 2023 for adoption.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's made and second, and I'm going to conduct the roll. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And then myself, Owen Egan, yes, in favor of the minutes. It passes unanimously. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it, and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. First is docket number FIC 2021-0287, Ahmad Lane versus Angel Quiros, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Good afternoon. Attorney Tracy Brown, I'm here representing the Department of Correction.
Do you wish to be heard?
I do not.
Is Mr. Quiros there? Is it Mr. Ahmad Lane there, please?
He's not participating.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion then.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Streeter, this was a dismissal, seeing that the complainant is not participating and there's no objection to the respondent. I move adoption of the hearing officer.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made.
I just have one question. Do we have some record that the prisoner was given an opportunity to participate?
Yes, we do. Yes, we heard from him just a little while ago. Is that right?
He could have mechanically, but
yes.
It was set up. Okay, thank you.
Sorry. Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0208, David Taylor versus Chairman, State of Connecticut, Board of Pardons and Paroles, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? I would entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, seeing neither party is present, it was a withdrawal and dismissal. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next matter is a similar matter, David Taylor versus Commissioner of State of Connecticut, Department of Public Health. That's FIC 2022-0368. That matter's been marked off. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0253, Adam Gutchian versus Chairman, Board of Commissions, Bloomfield Housing Authority, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, yeah, this was settled, withdrawn, and dismissed. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0198, Jean-Claude Ambrose versus Personnel and Appointments Committee, Town Council, Town of Groton et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? Does anyone wish to be heard on that matter? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was a dismissal, seeing neither party participating, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Mr. Hackett, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fisashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0210, Ryan Sullivan versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Public Health, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes. Good afternoon. Sean L. Rutchick, Assistant Attorney General for the defense respondents.
And your last name is Rutchick?
Rutchick, R-U-T-C-H-I-C-K.
And you're the attorney for State of Connecticut?
Yes.
Attorney Ryan Sullivan, here for the complainant. It was originally Riscasson Davis, somehow my name ended up on it, but here for the complainant, Ryan Sullivan.
Yep, Julianne Clausen for the complainant as well.
Thank you, counsel. We'll mark that red. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0375, David Collins and the Day versus Chairman, State of Connecticut, Port Authority et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Good afternoon, Andrew Paul, for respondents.
Andrew?
DePaul, it's D-E-P-D-A-U.
Is there anyone else here on that matter? Would you like to be heard?
Not unless there was somebody else, unless there was somebody here for the petitioner.
Is there anybody here from the Day? I'd entertain a motion. Thank
Mr.
you.
Chairman, please. Commissioner Streeter, seeing that the complaints are neat here and there's no objection to the respondents, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fisashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel. Next is FIC 2022-0526, Mark Lee versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Consumer Protection, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Ryan Burns for the commission.
Would you like to be heard?
No.
Just present. Okay. Mark Lee, are you there? I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was a complaint failed to appear and it was dismissed. There's no objection to the respondent. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fisashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, counsel. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0582, Peter and David Curran versus Secretary of State, State of Connecticut, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes. Assistant Attorney General Ben Abrams for the Secretary of State.
Do you wish to be heard?
No.
Is either Peter or David Curran there? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Streeter, this was a dismissal, seeing the complaint's not here, there's no objection to the respondent. Assistant Attorney General, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Mr. Hackett, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fisashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. All right. Before we consider these cases, I will ask the Executive Director, Colleen Murphy, to please make the usual announcements.
As was indicated at the beginning of the meeting, this proceeding is being recorded in its entirety, so there's no need to request a recording. You should be able to access that from our website soon after our meeting, and if you have any issues, let us know. And then pursuant to our regulations, oral argument is 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
So we're calling docket number FIC 2022-0210, Ryan Sullivan versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Public Health, et al. Council, please identify yourselves for the record, starting with you again.
Julie Ann Claassen, it's K-L-A-A-S-S-E-N, for the complainant.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Ryan Sullivan, for the complainant.
Good afternoon, Sean R. Rutchick, Assistant Attorney General for the respondents.
Thank you. So, the council representing Ryan Sullivan like to begin?
Oh, I think
good afternoon, commissioners. So this this matter involves the discovery of an investigation into an outbreak of a foodborne illness at a restaurant in Ellington, Connecticut. The complainant filed a FOIA request for all investigative materials regarding this outbreak of a foodborne illness. The complainant represents three individuals, one of whom unfortunately passed away as a result of contracting norovirus after eating at a restaurant, which was identified by the Northeast Health Local Health Department and the Department of Public Health as Jerry's Donuts. This restaurant was shut down for a period of time as a result of this outbreak. Our FOIA request for all information regarding this outbreak was denied on the basis of 19A-25 and 19A-215, which concern the confidentiality of morbidity and mortality studies of any information gleaned with regard to morbidity and mortality studies, and any actions taken by the Department of Public Health to control the spread of disease. The hearing officer's decision, finding 19, determined that this investigation was conducted pursuant to 19A215. And as to finding 20, all the information procured by the Department of Public Health was for the purpose of reducing morbidity or mortality. We filed a brief objecting to this finding on the basis that there were actions taken with regard to the restaurant, and as was noted at the hearing, in which two officers for the DPH testified, that concerned the shutting down of the business, determining the root cause of the outbreak, subsequent remedial measures taken at the business to prevent future outbreaks of norovirus. And we contend that these measures were taken pursuant to the statute 19A36K, which has no corresponding confidentiality provision, but gives a director of health the authority to make modifications to a menu or other restrictions to any food establishment where there is an outbreak of a foodborne illness. We don't object to the contention or the finding that some aspects of this investigation were for the purposes of reducing morbidity and mortality. They did contact people who may have been exposed. They did contact individuals who were identified as having norovirus and having patronized or worked at this establishment. Obviously, those that information should be confidential, but there are actions taken with regard to the business that we submit are not part of that morbidity and mortality investigation or study, or with regard to preventing the outbreak of disease as it relates to, tracing social contacts or identifying persons who may have the disease. Certainly, there's an overriding public policy consideration at play here as well. As it stands, we do not know how this outbreak happened. We do not know if the restaurant did anything with regard to their food preparation practices or their foods, their own safety practices that caused this outbreak. And the public should have confidence that when the DPH or a local health district investigates a foodborne illness outbreak, they are taking the necessary steps to prevent it in the future, and that they have, in some instances, determined how it happened and remediated that cause. We don't know that here. We don't know what happened. We just know that the restaurant was shut down and then it was allowed to reopen. And unfortunately, in this instance, you know, there are three individuals, one of whom, you know, passed away, who will, in this circumstance, never really know what happened. Obviously, the DPH has an interest in protecting confidentiality, ensuring that people will be honest and forthcoming with investigators, knowing that their, you know, the information that they provide won't be released to the public. But in circumstances where it's a business and actions are taken as against a business, and that business is open to the public, there's a sort of a countervailing concern that should be, I think, you know, considered here, which is that, you know, that the public is going to patronize these businesses, and they should be able to know that they can do so safely. And moreover, I mean, obviously we don't represent the business, but if a business is shut down, they should be entitled to know why they're being shut down and what why certain actions are being taken against them as a result of an outbreak. Just briefly as well, the statutory scheme here is very complicated, and one of the arguments or one of the findings that the hearing officer made was that this entire investigation was done pursuant to 19A215 and not 19A36K, which concerns local health departments. But there was evidence at the hearing that the DPH is involved in this entire investigation from the minute this reportable disease is identified at a laboratory and the DPH is notified, or the local health district is notified. And the DPH's own press release says that they are coordinating this investigation in collaboration with the local health department. So the idea that the 19836K only concerns local health departments and not the DPH, I would submit, is incorrect, because the DPH is intimately involved in that investigation. So to the extent 19836K has no confidentiality provision and actions are taken pursuant to that statute, such as enforcement mechanisms against the business, which don't concern morbidity and mortality, elements of the investigation should be provided to the complainant. And with that, I'll rest on the brief that we submitted in advance of this hearing. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. A few things. I'm going to jump out of order just to address a couple things. He talked about the complainant talked about a restaurant being closed and all those actions. Close examination of the record shows that that's not DPH's bailiwick, that local health did that. And that belies the fundamental misunderstanding of how the statute works by the complainant, made these same arguments before. It's important to, first off, look at the agency that was requested to provide information. It's Department of Public Health. So we have to look at what information they have, how they got it, and, of course, what statutes, if any, control and govern their disclosure of it. As pertains to DPH, it has its own authority, of course, as the overlying public health agency. This 19836K came about after. It pertains solely to local health, and it makes mandatory local health's obligation to conduct an investigation. It does not speak at all to whether DPH should not. In fact, it doesn't speak at all to DPH at all. It was enacted as part of the Model Food Code to clarify that where before that time, local health had the ability to investigate, now it became mandatory, so that they didn't have an option. And in fact, this commission has actually dealt with other decisions involving very similar issues, which I pointed out to the hearing officer. I think of it as a regular Joe's, but I actually do have the particular name of the case. And that was it's right in front of me. Yeah, Best Off the Orange, FIC 2014-783. There, Oregano Joe's was a pizza place. Town of Orange conducted an investigation. Department of Public Health conducted an investigation. And the records were sort much like here. Plaintiff's firm wanted to litigate the matter. There, the commission found, and it was upheld, that the DPH conducted its own investigation pursuant to its statutory authority and pursuant to the reportable disease list requirements. Those reportable disease requirements are listed in 19A215. When a report of a disease comes in, the department conducts an investigation, and all the information that's obtained in the course of that investigation is confidential pursuant to 19A25. It makes no exception. It actually talks about, specifically references 19A215 and what must be done. Essentially, plaintiff makes three arguments, as far as I can tell. And they're, in two instances, they're challenging the factual findings that the hearing officer made in her well-reasoned decision. The first is that the investigation was conducted. They challenge the decision that the factual finding that was made pursuant to 19A25 instead of 19A36K. Of course, we just talked about the fact that in the testimony revealed that DPH conducted its own investigation. The fact that local health did conduct an investigation, which may have involved closing down the facility, et cetera, is not relevant. The request is to DPH in this instance. And the second challenges the hearing officer's factual finding that all the information was procured or created to reduce morbidity and mortality. There, essentially, complainant misunderstands what the purpose is of study of morbidity and mortality. It's not just to stop the bleeding at that particular moment. It's also to kind of take a look at what happened and figure out best practices going forward so that these things don't recur. And there's frankly just nothing in the law or the statute that suggests that the morbidity and mortality stops immediately once they discover the particular source of the foodborne outbreak. And lastly, council attempts to make a public policy argument. For that, all we need to do is actually look at 19A25. And it talks about the confidentiality that's ascribed to it and basically goes on to state that none of the information obtained during that investigation can be used in lawsuits and things of that nature, can't be used as evidence in court. That's the public policy at issue here. They want the Department of Public Health to have the elbow room to go out, do their investigation, people to feel free coming forth to give the information so that there is no repercussion. There's nothing in the record that shows that DPH is the enforcement agency that shut down the food establishment at issue here. And so there's really absolutely nothing to support that argument. More importantly, it's just factually inaccurate. That's not how it happens. Instead, they go out, learn what happened, and they offer information to folks, sometimes anonymously, sometimes directly if they need to. And like in this case, they'll tell you, hey, you know what, there's an incident at the donut shop, so people who might have actually had some donuts, they would not eat them. You know, it sounds strange, but apparently sometimes donuts last more than a day. I've never heard that, but so they might do that in that instance. But again, the gravamen of the complainant's issue here seems to be tied to 19A36K. That's the only difference between this and the Beshoff case. 19A36K was not around at the time of the Beshoff case. However, all you need to do is actually read the statute and see that it absolutely solely pertains to an obligation of local health to investigate. Here, the hearing officer heard the testimony and determined that the Department of Public Health conducted its own investigation, and that's pretty much it. There's nothing in the record to suggest otherwise. Local Health did their own investigation, but that doesn't mean somehow that 1936 spills over into the Department of Public Health's investigation. Moreover, assuming you wanted to actually take a more profound look at 1936, there's nothing in it that actually abrogates the confidentiality that's provided by 19A25 by virtue of 19A215. 19A215 is that folks are mandated, certain laboratories, et cetera, mandated to report these diseases. Once the local health or Department of Public Health gets it, then some things kick into place to deal with that. And all that is protected by 19A215. It's arguably, and it's always been that way, 19A25 does take a few times to go through and read, but it's all there. And it makes clear that the hearing officer's decision was right on point, frankly. The hearing officer didn't spend a lot of time talking about 19A36K because, frankly, it just doesn't apply. And with that, I rest. Thank you.
Just briefly, commissioners, with regard to the argument that 19A36K applies solely to local health, you know, the statute is there. You can read it. It does not say that it applies solely to local health. It just says a director of health shall investigate, you know, any outbreak of a foodborne illness. The idea that DPH is sort of completely divorced from this investigation, local health is doing their thing, DPH is doing theirs, is not the evidence that we heard at the hearing. The hearing, both officers for the DPH indicated that they were involved in the investigation. DPH has a food protection division. That food protection division did make determinations as to the cause of this outbreak, makes recommendations to local health about actions to be taken. And simply, just because DPH takes possession of any information from local health does not mean that that automatically encompasses that information under the guise of 215, or the confidentiality of 19A25, I'm sorry, or 19A215. Furthermore, the confidentiality of 19A215 with regard to the reportable disease aspect of this is limited to personal identifying information. And 19A25 has its own confidentiality for information, records, interviews, reports, etc. That, though, is limited to information that is used to stop the spread of disease or identify, you know, an infectious disease. And so, again, our argument would be to the extent DPH has any possession of information that isn't related to that purpose, that is related to the purposes of actions taken against the business or actions with regard to identifying the practices of the business that may have caused this outbreak, that would not be confidential. And with that, I think, you know, the arguments are clear, and I'll rest on my brief.
Thank you.
So Felicia Harmon, counsel to the commission. I was the hearing officer in this case. So the statutes in this case that pertain to the Department of Public Health are ironclad. We had a long hearing. We had a very thorough hearing. I had Dr. Ben Sosa, the acting director of infectious diseases, and the acting state epidemiologist testify along with Lori Weeks, who is a retiree, but who ran the department of, she was the supervisor of the food protection program for 24 years. So I had the experts here. And if you look at 19A-25, which is in paragraph 14, and just like boiling it down, it says, all information procured by the Department of Public Health pursuant to section 19A-215 for the purpose of reducing morbidity or mortality from any cause or condition shall be confidential. And when you drop down, it further emphasizes such information, records, reports, statements, notes, memoranda, or other data shall not be admissible as evidence in any action of any kind in any court before any other tribunal, board, agency, or person
nor shall it be exhibited or its contents disclosed in any way, in whole or in part, by any officer or representative of the Department of Public Health. So if we have an investigation pursuant to 19A-215 by the Department of Public Health, the information is off limits. So when we move over to 19A-215 and we drop down to subsection D, it says, which is my paragraph 15D, the commissioner's list of reportable diseases, sorry, when a local health director, the local director's authorized agent, or the Department of Public Health receives a report of a disease or laboratory finding on the commissioner's list of reportable diseases, these folks may do certain things to investigate. So the question becomes, is what happened at Jerry's Donuts a reportable disease? Because if it is, then it's an investigation pursuant to 19A-215, and according to 19A-25, the records are off limits. So when we drop down to paragraph 17, I had the chief epidemiologist tell me that outbreaks of foodborne illnesses involving two or more people is a reportable disease, and that what happened at Jerry's Donuts was an outbreak of a foodborne illness involving two or more people. So it's on the commissioner's list of reportable diseases. So it's an investigation pursuant to 19A-215, and according to 19A-25, you can't get the records from the Department of Health. I looked at it every way I could look at it. The records are off limits. I understand it's frustrating, and this is not the first case that we've had, as counsel Rutschick indicated. We've been ruling this way. I found a case from 2015, same kind of event. You can't get at the Department of Public Health investigation if it's an investigation conducted pursuant to 19A-215 according to 19A-25. So the testimony from the acting director of infectious diseases / the acting state epidemiologist was that this was an investigation for the purpose of reducing morbidity and mortality. The records are off limits, so that's why I recommended the way I did. Thank you.
Any questions?
Well, I would just note, you know, Attorney Harmon did mention, you know, in this hearing report also that, you know, 19A-215 subsections F and G also, you know, underscore the confidentiality provisions. You know, so that's more, you know, it further buttresses the confidential nature of this information.
Thank you. Anything further? Anything further, Commissioner Einhorn?
No, thank you.
I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Street, I'll move that to the office report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Items 3 through 9 to note them slightly in a summary fashion. I did send out a memo with an indication about why these cases came to my attention and why I believe they should not be scheduled for hearing. And these fall, all of them fall under 1206B2A. As opposed to some of the other ones you've considered about abuse of our process, these ones are really all about us not having jurisdiction on their face. So I've outlined for you, actually Kathleen outlined in her memo,
to you the reasons, but essentially the first one, item number three, which is Mr. Alston's case, docket number FIC 2022-0449. His was filed against the DCJ, Chief State's Attorney's Office, and as you know, we only have very limited jurisdiction over that entity with respect to administrative functions, and the records requested did not pertain to that. So that's the basis for that one. The next one, the next two actually involve Spear versus Donna Scatz. That's docket number 2022-0462. And then another one with Ms. Spear against attorney Lloyd Langheimer, docket number FIC 2022-0474. And those two were filed against an entity, in this case, an individual that is not a public agency. That's the basis for those two. That brings us up to the complaints by David and Peter Curran versus U.S. Bank National Association. And then the next one, that one's 2022-0499. And then David and Peter Curran versus John Larson, state rep, docket number 2022-0500. Same basis there. Neither of those are public agencies subject to the Freedom of Information Act. Congressman is not a state agency. So that's the basis for those two. That brings us up to another one by Ms. Spear, docket number FIC 2022-0536, against the Grievance Council, the State of Connecticut Judicial Branch. Same basis there, not a public agency, again, limited jurisdiction over that entity, and the records didn't fall within that. And then the last one would be Mr. Rousseau versus Chief Police Department, Town of Windsor Locks et al., and that's docket number 2022-0548. And in that one, slightly different basis, the complaint wasn't filed within the 30-day period, and we gave an opportunity to establish that the complaint was filed on time, and that didn't occur. So all of these, for some similar and one slightly different reason, I believe fall under that grounds to not schedule a hearing in 1206B2A in these instances. So I ask you to affirm my decision not to schedule those matters for hearing.
Your memo was very helpful. Oh. Thank you.
Good. Credit to Kathleen for that.
Right. It's one of her last things
and,
she did. Right?
And we've designed this to have these types of items that are not, you know, heavy substantive items, to have them come up on more of a quarterly type basis. So we will potentially have a few of them on, but really just on a quarterly basis.
Thank you. We're going to entertain a motion.
I just have a question. So is it okay to move all seven together?
I think so.
Or should we do them individually?
Think so. I think okay. For the record, I indicated what they were. Okay. So I think we're okay.
Sounds good. So, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Streeter, I will move agenda items 3 through 9 to affirm the executive director's decision not to schedule hearings in docket FIC 2022-0449. Docket FIC 2022-0462, FIC docket 2022-0474, FIC docket 2022-0499, FIC docket 2022-0500, docket number FIC 2022-0536, and in FIC docket 2022-0548.
Commissioner
Hines, a second. Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fizeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan? Yes. Passes unanimously. Report on consideration.
Yeah, on item number 10, we're not going to have a report on pending appeals today. Nothing major happening, although there are a number of briefs being written right now, but nothing actively happening in court that we need to report on. And under executive director's report, Nothing there other than maybe I'll point out at this juncture that we do have our commissioner nominee here with us today in the audience. And that's Anya Goldsby. And I mentioned to you about her appointment, and she had her hearing, and she was voted out of committee, but we're just waiting for the House to approve her. So thinking that may happen maybe tomorrow, as soon as tomorrow. What do you think? Paula, do you have an idea yet?
I know they're in session tomorrow.
Yes, we're thinking perhaps tomorrow. So
welcome.
We hope that she'll join you up here at the next meeting.
They're not going to be all like this.
Yes, right. We gave her a nice short one.
Yeah.
So welcome, and she'll have the big swearing in at a future meeting. Okay, under staff reports, I'll just report that we are moving to fill our attorney position. We've gone through first round interviews, and we hope that we'll move that process along fairly speedily. And then I'll transition from there into the legislative report. My item that I'll report is just on the budget, that the appropriations budget was released last week, and it did contain two new positions for the commission, one attorney position and one support position, administrative assistant. So
all ours, not shared.
It's pretty big, all ours, yes.
That's
so
great.
We will just need some space for these people, which will be the next matter to work on, or one of the next matters to work on. Our space is really designed for the exact number of people we have now. So then under legislative report, Paul, anything?
I don't have anything else, but I'd be happy to answer questions. I sent out that memo last week. There's a lot going on, but it's mostly meetings and contacting people.
Right.
Hopefully I'll have more to
report. Okay. Right. We have a number of bills that we've talked about that were that we believe would diminish the FOI Act that we're still really working on, and the bill to give the commission more powers is also very active on that. We've suggested some language to make it a little clearer, but we're watching these bills, and all the session happenings are about to begin now, so we'll see if any of these bills move through. That's it. I don't have any other new business, so
Thank you.
Quick meeting
today. Quick. I just had a quick question. Now that we have a couple of minutes. First of all, I'm very excited about the Appropriations Committee vote. I think there's a lot of people put effort into it. It's terrific. Of course, the whole budget still has to hold together, but I'm confident that it will. I am hopeful and confident that it will stay the way it is. With reason. So, I just like to, just for a minute while we're all here, look at the monthly reports that we've been having, you know, at the meetings. And there's two things that I'm very interested in, which I was interested in when I first joined. I continue to be interested in. And I'd love to figure out a way that these commissioners can know a little bit more about. One is, now that we're coming out of the post-COVID period a little bit, and now that we have a new communications education director, and noting that education of the public is both a statutory and a conceptually, I believe, important part of the function of the commission, I would like to just hear more on a more regular basis on how we're evolving in that area, in the outreach to municipalities or general education of the public to get them. I just like, for me at least, I don't know other commissioners, I would feel better if I had a sense and some momentum that I might not be aware of. Now that we're staffed newly and energized, and there's lots of new tools available, electronic and otherwise, that hopefully you will, and new resources, assuming that the appropriations continue to hold, how the education function of the commission is being handled and how that's looking. So I guess that's really my and the second point that I would love to have a little better sense on a some basis, now that we're coming out of COVID, is how we are actually doing on the timing issue. That is catching up and getting our timing from filing of a complaint at the commission to resolution of the shortened. I think there are a lot of people, I personally feel strongly about those issues, but I believe there is also significant interest in the public and other areas in those two issues. So that I don't know if it's for discussion or comment, but I'd like to raise it, and I have to raise it in this context because that's how it works.
Put an agenda item on the next future meeting, or does this?
Well,
it's not a motion for me. Yeah. It's just discussion. Just,
yeah, I mean, we can certainly have Russell come and give you a little report on what he's been up to. I mean, he's still getting his feet wet. Tom has been training him just on conducting education sessions, but I know Russell has some good ideas for some additional things to do. So maybe give us a little more time, but I'll have him come and present on his ideas and how he's doing and where he's been and that sort of thing. And we can start to, on the second.
Before I believe there's a statutory provision about holding an annual.
Oh, our annual. We have that.
And I haven't heard about it. Now, maybe it's been held online provision. Or how it's held. But.
Right.
That's particularly an area I'm interested in, how we develop that or how we.
On that front, I can tell you where we've set aside a date in the fall for our annual conference, which is the one. Yes, that's the one statutory provision that says that we'll conduct an annual training session. So we will be doing that in the fall. I believe it was going to be in September, but I think it's going to be in early October now. So we're just wrapping our arms around that at this point in time. So that's the general plan with regard to that. But,
so I'd love little updates every once in a while.
Yeah.
So that, I find it very that is on the schedule.
yes. So just
and how we expand it, all
presses,
that is a good
yes.
discussion. But that's on the schedule.
Okay. Good.
And the second one was the deadline issue.
Yeah, we can.
And not for today, but just
soon, yes, give you some kind of report, comparative report on that, regarding again the two tracks where we're on, the ones that have the no expiration date, which we're whittling those down, and then the current cases that are filed.
Perfect. Thank you.
It's 3 o'clock, so I move adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Is there no discussion? I'll take a roll call of those in favor of adjourning. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Buzeschi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Thank you all.
Great job.
Thank you.
Okay.